Hey there, explorers! It's your trusty trail guide, Laura. And today? Well, I hope you've got your boots buckled and your bonnets tied. Because on this episode of Faithfully Explore, we are setting off on one of the most incredible journeys in American religious history. Imagine this. Thousands of families packing everything they own into wagons or wooden carts. Kids leaving behind their toys, their beds, their whole towns. Grown-ups stepping forward into the unknown, driven by one powerful thing. Faith. This is the story of the pioneers of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and the long, dusty, hopeful road they took to build a home where they could freely worship, live in peace, and grow as a community. This episode is especially close to my heart because I grew up in the LDS Church for more than 20 years. I went to Sunday services, sang primary song, dressed up for Pioneer Day, and even visited some of the places we'll talk about. So whether you're curled up on the couch, riding in the car, building with blocks, or watching clouds drift by, I invite you to walk the trail with me. You don't need hiking boots or a sunbonnet. Just bring your hat, your imagination, and your sense of wonder. Faithfully explores the name. Learning together is our aim. Beliefs around the globe will track. Filling up our belief backpack. Come, come. Let's pause before we hit the trail and ask a really important question. What exactly is the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints?
I belong to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
It's a big name, isn't it? Sometimes people call it the LDS Church for short, or even the Mormon Church. But most members today prefer the full name because it reminds them of two very important things. One, they believe in Jesus Christ. He's at the center of everything they do. And two, the words Latter-day Saints help show they believe they're part of Jesus' followers in modern times, or in the latter days. Let me tell you how it all began. Back in 1820, there was a teenage boy named Joseph Smith living in upstate New York. He had lots of questions. So many churches said different things. How could he know which one was right? So one day, Joseph walked into a quiet grove of trees and prayed. Just him, the trees, and his big questions. According to the story told by Latter-day Saints, something incredible happened. Joseph said that in that grove, God the Father and Jesus Christ appeared to him. They told him not to join any of the churches around him because something new, a restoration, was coming. A few years later, Joseph said an angel named Moroni visited him and told him about golden plates buried in a hill near his home. These plates, Joseph believed, held ancient writings from people who had lived in the Americas long ago. With help, Joseph translated the plates into the Book of Mormon, a book Latter-day Saints read alongside the Bible. They believe both books teach about Jesus and God's plan for us. Latter-day Saints believe that Joseph Smith was called to be a prophet, which, like Moses or Noah or Isaiah in the Bible, is someone chosen to lead. And since Joseph Smith, the church has always had a living prophet, a man who helps guide its members with new teachings and reminders of God's love. I asked several kids from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints who their favorite prophet was, and the top three answers were Joseph Smith, Brigham Young, who we will learn about in a minute, and Russell M. Nelson, who is their current prophet. So, what do members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints do? They go to church on Sundays. They study the scriptures with their families. They try to serve others, be honest, and show kindness every day. They also don't drink alcohol, coffee, or tea, and they try to keep their minds and bodies healthy. Many Latter-day Saints don't swear and dress modestly, showing respect for their bodies as gifts from God. Temples are especially important. They're not the same as regular meeting houses. Inside temples, members make sacred promises called covenants, like being married for eternity or being baptized for ancestors who died long ago.
I used to think temples were castles. They even have sparkly gold statues on top.
And when Latter-day Saints turn 18 or 19, many choose to go on missions, spending 1.5 years to 2 whole years away from their home. They do this to share their beliefs, serve others, and try to live simply. You might have even seen some of them in your neighborhood, often wearing white shirts and name tags. Latter-day Saints believe in working hard, loving deeply, and trying to be the kind of people Jesus would be happy with. Now that we know who they are, let's find out where their biggest journey led them and why it involved wagons, snowstorms, courage, and a whole lot of walking. Ready to hit the trail? Back in the 1830s and 1840s, after Joseph Smith founded the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, thousands of people started to join. They built communities, they started businesses, and they shared their faith. But not everyone liked that. Some people were afraid of this new religion. Others were angry because Latter-day Saints believed in living prophets and an extra set of scriptures beyond the Bible. And so the members of the Church of Jesus Christ faced persecution. Persecution means being treated badly or unfairly because of your beliefs. Some members were kicked out of their towns. Others' printing presses were destroyed. Others' homes were burned. Some were even attacked.
Everyone started being mean to them. All they were doing was believing something different.
Eventually, in the city of Nauvoo, Illinois, things got even worse. Joseph Smith and his brother Hiram were arrested and taken to jail. While in jail, they were killed there by a mob. After Joseph's death, the church was devastated, but not destroyed. A new leader, Brigham Young, stepped forward and said it was time to find a place far away from danger, somewhere they could worship freely. That meant heading west, way west, past the edge of the United States into unsettled land. They would walk, they would pull wagons, and they would start over. In 1846, the first groups left Nauvoo, crossing the frozen Mississippi River on foot. Some wagons broke going through the ice. Some people got sick in the cold. They traveled west through Iowa and Nebraska, through rain, through mud, through hunger, then through Wyoming and into Utah. And it wasn't just a few people. By the end of the pioneer era, over 70,000 Latter-day Saints, men, women, and children had made the journey. Some traveled in covered wagons, but many couldn't afford one, so they pulled small wooden carts by hand. These were called hand carts. Imagine something like a giant wooden wheelbarrow with no horse to pull it. Just you. Walking day after day.
I get tired walking my mailbox. I cannot imagine dragging a giant wooden cart across the country.
They had to carry everything they needed. Blankets, flour, pots, Bibles, Book of Mormons, maybe one toy or a picture if they had space. Some people froze to death in the mountains. Some starved. Some turned back. But many kept going because their faith told them that their journey was worth it. They sang. Even when they were tired, even when they were scared, even when their shoes had holes. There's a song many children in the church still sing today.
Pioneer children sing as they walked and walked and walked and walked.
They weren't just adults. They were kids just like you. Kids who held their siblings' hands. Kids who said prayers before bedtime on the trail. Kids who believe. The story goes, eventually in July of 1847, after months of walking, climbing, freezing, and hoping, the first group of pioneers reached the Salt Lake Valley. Brigham Young looked out at the wide open land and said,
"This is the right place. Drive on."
And that's how the church began building a home in the desert. A home with room to believe.
Come be safe.
Okay, Trailblazers, after all that walking and wondering, I don't know about you, but my toes are twitching and my muscles need a good pioneer-style shakeout. It's time for a movement break. Let's get up and we're going to do the handcart hustle. So stand up right where you are, take a deep breath, and let's get into character. Imagine this. You're a pioneer kid. You've just crossed a river, your socks are soggy, your arms are sore, your belly is rumbling, and in front of you is a really, really big hill. Ready? Reach your hands out in front of you like you're grabbing two big wooden handles. Now plant your feet wide and bend your knees slightly like you're getting ready to pull something heavy. Pretend to pull that cart forward four steps. Ready? 1, 2, 3, 4. Now lean in and act like you're walking up a steep hill, tugging it again. 1, 2, 3, 4. Can you feel that weight? That's your flour, your blanket, your grandma's good skillet. Oh no! The wheel is stuck in a patch of mud. Squat down low, knees bent. All right, we're gonna try to squat again and get that wheel loose. Squat and now make a mud sound.
Slurp.
All right, do it again. Squat, let's hear it louder.
Slurped.
One more big squat. And heave, lift your arms up and pull that cart free of the mud.
Woo!
Now the clouds are turning dark. A prairie thunderstorm is coming. Quick, run in place. Your boots are squelching, your bonnet is flapping. Now cover your head and crouch down low like you're sheltering under your cart. Hold still and listen to the wind. Shh. Now peek out. Phew, the sun is shining again. Stand tall and shake off all that rain. You've made it to camp. Celebrate with a little jig. Bounce your knees, twirl in a circle, slap your pretend boots, and tug your imaginary suspenders. All right, take a bow, you tough little traveler. That, my friends, was the handcart hustle. Now grab some pretend water from your canteen, or maybe some real water. Take a few deep breaths and settle back into your seat. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Utah.
Utah who?
Totally need to rest after that. We've got more exploring to do. Dust off your party hats and save me a slice of homemade pie because we're about to learn about a real holiday that thousands of families still celebrate every year, especially in Utah. It's called Pioneer Day, and it takes place on July 24th. Why that day? Because on July 24th, 1847, after months and months of trekking across rivers, mountains, deserts, and danger, the very first group of Latter-day Saints pioneers rolled into the Salt Lake Valley. Brigham Young was said to be sick in the back of a wagon when they arrived, but when he stood up and saw the land, dusty and wide, he might have said something that would later become famous.
This is the right place. Drive on.
And just like that, a new chapter began. They unpacked. They planted crops. They dug canals and built homes and churches. They started schools and sang songs again. Their long journey was over, but the hard work was just beginning. Fast forward to today, and Pioneer Day is a big deal in Utah. People celebrate with parades that include wagons, horses, kids in bonnets and suspenders, and even floats shaped like covered wagons or temples. There's music, fireworks, carnivals, and fun runs. You'll see families having picnics, telling stories about ancestors, and sometimes dressing up like pioneers just for fun. Some communities even hold pioneer trek reenactments where kids and teens dress like pioneers and walk several miles pulling wooden handcarts to get a small taste of what it might have, felt like. Others honor the day more quietly by visiting family graves, reading journals from ancestors, or writing down their own spiritual journey. And here's something you might not know. Some people who celebrate Pioneer Day aren't even part of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, but they still celebrate the bravery of people who followed their beliefs and helped build a community with hope and hard work. So, explorers, what would your wagon be full of if you were on a modern-day trek? Books, snacks, extra socks, maybe a flashlight, a kindness journal. I don't know, maybe a giant jar of peanut butter. Let's take a little break to imagine what it would feel like to be a kid on the trail. You are standing next to a covered wagon early in the morning. The air smells like smoke from a nearby campfire. Your feet crunch on dry grass and scattered pebbles. There's a wheel rut in the dirt beside you, grooves carved by all the wagons that came before yours. Your legs feel stiff from yesterday's miles, but there's no time to be tired. Today is another walking day. You help your little sister button her shoes. She's only 5. She misses her dolls. You tied a string to a piece of cloth for her to carry as a pretend pet yesterday. It helped a little. You reach into the sack that holds your family's food. There's not much left today. A few biscuits, some jerky. Ooh, at the bottom, a strip of dried apple. You chew slowly. You're saving it in your mouth, stretching it out as long as you can. You wrap your scarf around your hands and grip the cart handles. Your hands have calluses you didn't have 2 months ago. Your shoulders ache. Your arms are sore, but you move forward. One step, another, and another. Hours pass. You hear the creak of the wagon wheels. You sing under your breath to keep your mind busy. Sometimes you see something strange. Buffalo bones, an old boot, a button. Once you found a small wooden whistle and gave it to your younger brother. Sometimes you walk in silence. Sometimes you talk to God. A storm is coming. The air smells like wet dirt. You help your family stretch a canvas sheet over the wagon as the first fat drops of rain start to fall. You crawl underneath and huddle close. It's dark, and someone has a lantern glowing faintly. You hear the thump of rain on the canvas above you. Drip, drip, drip. The storm passes, just like all the others, and tomorrow you'll wake up and walk again. But then, one day, you crest a hill and look out over a green valley surrounded by mountains. There's a stream, a breeze, wildflowers. Your mother gasps, your father stares. A voice behind you says, "This is the place. You made it." All right, trail trekkers. You've learned so much already about the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, about the brave pioneers who crossed plains and mountains, and about how Pioneer Day helps people remember their faith-filled journey. But now it's time to play Trail Tale or True. Here's how it works. I'm going to tell you something that might have happened on the Pioneer Trail. If you think it really happened, shout True! But if it sounds a little too wacky or made up, shout, "Trail Tale!" Got it? Let's try one together to warm up. Some pioneers packed 5 tubs of bubblegum and a Nintendo Switch for the journey.
Trail Tale.
You got it, Trail Tale. No gum, no gadgets, just grit. All right, let's keep going. Some pioneer kids had to walk the whole way over 1,000 miles without shoes.
True.
You're right. Some kids' shoes wore out early in the journey, and there was no Amazon truck to bring replacements, so they walked barefoot over rocks, dirt, and sometimes even snow. What about this one? Pioneers used giant balloons to float their wagons over rivers.
Trail Tale.
Yep, that would have been cool, but nope. They had to ford rivers, which means walking or riding through the water. Sometimes they lost belongings, and sometimes the crossing was very dangerous. The next one. Some people were baptized in freezing rivers during the journey west.
True.
They sure were, even when the water was icy cold. For many, their faith was so strong that they didn't want to wait to get to Utah to make those sacred promises. One pioneer girl carried a kitten inside her apron for hundreds of miles.
true?
Yes. Her name was Ellen Pucel Unthink, and even though she faced frostbite and enormous hardship, she protected her kitten the whole way. That's my kind of girl. Pioneer wagons had bathrooms and bunk beds inside.
Trail tail.
For sure not. Wagons were basically just wooden boxes on wheels. If you had a mattress or even a thicker blanket to lay on, you were lucky. And the bathroom? Well, let's just say it was wherever the prairie let you go. You did amazing, explorers! Whether you guessed true or shouted trail tale with gusto, you used your brain and your heart to think about what life might have been like back then. Guess what? There are more journeys like this in the world. People of many faiths and cultures who travel, wander, and search for something sacred. We're going to talk about how the pioneer story connects to theirs on what we call our friendship bridge. Long, long ago, there was a group of people called the Israelites, and they were living in Egypt, but not by choice. They were being forced to work as slaves. Then came a man named Moses. He was a prophet who stood up to the Pharaoh, which is a powerful king of Egypt, and said,
"Let my people go."
And after many signs and miracles, the Pharaoh finally agreed. But the journey wasn't easy. The Israelites had to leave in a hurry, cross a desert, and even walk through the Red Sea, which the Bible says God parted in two so they could escape. They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. They were thirsty, they were hungry, sometimes they got grumpy and tired. But they were also learning to trust God. That's when they received the Ten Commandments and started becoming a community of faith. Today, Jewish families around the world celebrate this journey during a special holiday called Passover, a time to remember how God helped them find freedom. Just like the Mormon pioneers, the Israelites were walking toward a home where they could live their faith in peace. They had to be brave, they had to keep walking, and they had to believe in something they couldn't always see. Now let's cross our bridge into the deserts of ancient Arabia, where a man named Muhammad was teaching something new, that there is only one God and that all people should be treated fairly and kindly. But not everyone in his city, Mecca, liked that message. Muhammad and his followers were bullied and threatened. It got so dangerous they had to leave everything behind, homes, belongings, even friends, and start over in a new place. This journey is called the Hijra, and it led them to a city called Medina. There they were welcomed with open arms. They built a peaceful community, started new lives, and kept their faith strong. This journey is so important in Islam that it marks the very first year of the Muslim calendar. The Hijra teaches values like sacrifice, trust in God, and unity. Just like the pioneers, the early Muslims knew that faith sometimes meant walking away from what's familiar and walking toward something better. Now let's cross another part of our bridge to Persia, which is now called Iran. In the 1800s, a man named Baha'u'llah began teaching that all people are part of one big human family. He believed in peace, unity, and the idea that no matter where you come from or what you look like, we all matter equally. But those in power didn't like his teachings. Baha'u'llah and his followers were persecuted, arrested, and forced to leave their homes over and over again. Baha'u'llah's life became a kind of lifelong pioneer trek. In 1863, he was exiled from Baghdad all the way to Constantinople. Over 100 days of travel by foot and mule through summer heat, mountains, and deserts. But through every step, he kept going. His followers sang songs, encouraged others, and kept spreading his message of kindness and unity. Today, the Baha'i faith has followers all over the world, and they still talk about these journeys as proof that resilience and cooperation can shine even in the darkest places. Whether it's the Exodus, the Hijra, or Baha'u'llah's long road from exile to exile, each one is about people leaving what they knew, walking into the unknown, and holding tight to hope, faith, and each other. Just like the Latter-day Saint pioneers, they all faced fear, they all faced loss, but they also carried something amazing with them, a belief they couldn't leave behind. Okay, explorers, let's unzip our belief backpacks and see what treasures we've gathered on the trail today. First, the courage to keep going. Even when their shoes were worn out, even when rivers froze, even when they were scared or tired or sad, the pioneers kept going. They believed in something bigger than their fears. Let's tuck courage into the side pocket of our backpack. Repeat after me. I can do hard things.
I can do hard things.
Even when the hill is steep or the homework is tricky or your friend says something that hurts, you can take one step forward and keep going. The second thing we want to remember from today's journey is faith in action. For the Latter-day Saints, faith wasn't just something they thought about. It was something they lived. They walked their beliefs with every dusty mile. Faith isn't always comfy. Sometimes it's sweaty. Sometimes it's slow. But it's always worth it. Add a pinch of faith in action to your pack. Repeat after me. What I believe shapes what I do.
What I believe shapes what I do.
The last thing we want to add to our backpack today is helping hands make the trail easier. Pioneers didn't travel alone. They shared blankets, carried each other's loads, and sang songs to lift spirits when the road got tough. Whether it was a cold night or a too steep hill, someone was always there to lend a hand or a smile. Let's pack teamwork into our belief backpack, because when we help each other, even big problems feel a little lighter. Repeat after me. We go farther when we go together.
We go farther when we go together.
So the next time your friend is frustrated, your sibling is tired, or your classmate feels left out, ask yourself, how can I make their trail a little easier today? As your belief backpack is packed and ready to go, you've got courage, you've got faith in action, you've got teamwork. So here's your weekly challenge. It's time to actually use what's in that backpack. This week's challenge is called Faith in Action Adventure. It's all about turning something you believe into something you do. Let's break it down. Step one, pick a belief you care about. This could be a spiritual belief, like, I believe God wants us to be kind, or I believe prayer brings peace, or it could be a views-based belief, like, I believe everyone deserves a friend, or I believe we should take care of nature. Take a minute to think. Pause the podcast while you do. What's one thing I believe that helps guide how I want to live? Step two, choose an action that matches. Now ask yourself, what can I actually do to live that belief this week? Here are some ideas. If you believe in kindness, make a card for someone who's having a hard day. If you believe in prayer, start a short prayer journal and write just one sentence a day. If you believe everyone deserves a friend, try making a new friend this week. If you believe in caring for creation, pick up trash at the park or start a mini recycling spot at home. Whatever you choose, it doesn't have to be huge. It just has to try to make a difference. Step three, track your adventure. Like always, I've made a special printable just for this challenge. You can download it from faithfullyexplore.com. It will help you choose your belief, pick your action, draw or write about what you did, and reflect on how it felt to put your belief into motion. You can hang it on your fridge, tuck it in your backpack, or show it to your grown-up when you're done. It's like a mini pioneer map of your own trail, except instead of heading to Utah, you're heading toward becoming the kind of person who really lives what they believe. So what will your faith and action adventure look like? Will it involve helping a neighbor, apologizing to a friend, making cookies? I believe in you. I believe your belief can make a difference. Now zip up that backpack and get ready to blaze your own trail. Gather close, explorers. We've heard a lot today about walking, building, and believing. But now it's time to settle in for a story. one that has been told around Latter-day Saint campfires, classrooms, and dinner tables for generations. It's called the Miracle of the Gulf. It was the spring of 1848, almost a year after the first pioneers arrived in the Salt Lake Valley. After the long, painful journey west, many Latter-day Saint families had planted their very first crops in the hard Utah soil. It was a dry land, unlike the green hills they'd left behind in the east. This first harvest was everything. It meant survival through the next winter. It meant children would have bread, mothers would have stew, and fathers would keep their families close. So they worked and prayed and watered and waited. Then one morning, something strange happened. Thousands of insects, long, black, shiny insects, crawled over the hills and into the fields. They weren't ordinary bugs. These were Mormon crickets, huge, hungry, and loud. They came in waves, clicking and crunching. They ate leaves, they chewed through stalks, they stripped the plants bare. People tried everything. They shouted, they lit fires, they banged pots. Some ran into the fields swinging brooms, trying to drive them off. Children cried. Farmers dropped to their knees. It looked like the pioneers might lose everything. Then, just when hope was almost gone, something appeared in the sky. Birds. Dozens at first. Then hundreds. Seagulls. Now wait a minute. Seagulls? The pioneers couldn't believe it. This wasn't the beach. This was the desert. There was no ocean by then. But here they came, white wings shining, circling above the valley. The birds swooped down and began to eat the crickets. They gobbled them up by the beakful. And something even more amazing, the gulls didn't just eat a few and fly away. They stayed. They ate and then flew to the streams and then came back to eat more. Day after day, the seagulls returned, devouring the crickets until the fields were saved. To the pioneers, it felt like a miracle, a message. A whisper from heaven saying, "You're not alone. Keep going." That summer, the crops grew tall, the bread got baked, the valley came to life, and the people remembered. Today in downtown Salt Lake City, Utah, you can still visit the Seagull Monument that was built in 1913. On top of a stone tower sit two bronze seagulls, stretching their wings toward the sky, watching over the land they once helped save. Not every miracle comes with glitter or lightning. Some comes with feathers, some come with timing, and some come with just enough hope to carry you through the darkest day. So the next time you see a plain-looking seagull, remember the miracle it might be holding in its beak. Well, explorers, we've reached the end of our journey on the trail of belief. We've walked beside children with tired feet and brave hearts. We've felt the wind of the plains and the sting of cold rivers. We've learned about courage, faith, community, and miracles with wings. And even though our boots aren't dusty and our wagon is imaginary, we've carried something real with us this whole time. Wonder. The wonder of people who believe so strongly in something good, they're willing to walk across the world to find it. We've also packed our belief backpacks full of values we can use in real life, right now. You don't have to be part of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints to feel inspired by their story. You just have to care about standing up for what's right and walking forward when the road gets rocky. So as you go through your week, remember the handcart hustle. Remember the kitten in the apron. Remember the crickets and the gulls. Ask yourself, what kind of journey am I on? Because you, my explorer friend, are on your own kind of trail too. Maybe it's the trail of learning something new. Maybe it's the trail of asking big questions. Maybe it's the trail of being a little kinder, a little braver, a little more you. Next time on Faithfully Explore, we're trading wagons for whirlwinds and desert trails for tales from the dawn of time. Have you ever wondered how the world began? Well, so have people from every corner of the globe. In our next episode, How the World Began, Creation Stories Around the Globe, we'll dive into magical, mythical, meaningful stories from different cultures and faiths about how life, light, and love came to be. So bring your imagination and your listening ears, because the beginning is just the beginning. Thank you for joining me today. Thank you for walking with me, wondering with me, and remembering with me. Whether you're part of this faith, another faith, or still figuring out what you believe, you belong here. You matter. Your questions are wonderful. Your kindness is powerful. And your voice is important. And you are always, always invited to explore. I'm Laura, your trail guide and storyteller here on Faithfully Explore, reminding you, stay curious, stay kind, and keep walking forward, even when the road gets hard. Until next time, explorers. Keep believing.